Good evening, friends. Welcome to this, the third of our Holy Week evening services, and a particular welcome to those of our neighbouring and linked congregation of our dear joining us for this combined service tonight. We open our worship with a hymn from CH3, number 216, What Grace, O Lord, and Beauty, 216. Jesus remained in Bethany preparing himself while Judas was bargaining with the chief priests to betray him. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray you to look upon this, your family, for which the Lord Jesus Christ was content to be betrayed and to die on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you, our God. We pray you, Lord, to renew us from within. Let our hearts be pure. Let our desires be wholesome. Forgive the sins which have blemished our lives and help us to leave those sins behind. As we recall how our Saviour sought strength in your presence for the trial of his faith, we pray you to give us a faith like his. Help us to depend on you, our God, for the strength and courage to go on and do what you have appointed for us to do. Lord, we do not know what lies ahead of us to experience or to endure. We pray you, therefore, help us to go forward as Jesus did, preparing ourselves in quietness and in the consciousness of your presence, drawing upon that source of wisdom and strength and love and power which never fails. We pray for the church, Lord, for those who serve you in the work of the church here on earth, for the fellowship of Christians the world over, for the church's work in reaching those who do not believe and trust themselves to your love and power. We pray for your help for those who are ill, those who are troubled, those who are lonely, all who are in any kind of need. We know some of them and we bring them to you in prayer. We ask your blessing for them all. Be with those dear to our own hearts and keep them safe through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We read God's word in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, at verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 187, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy," 187. Thank you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, at verse 40. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Having often looked at it before, I had another look recently at the biographical details of the late Professor James S. Stewart. He was a distinguished Church of Scotland minister and scholar. He wrote a number of books which were a great help to many a person, both in the ministry and out with it. He held charges in Aberdeen and Edinburgh and taught with distinction in his capacity of Professor of New Testament in the University of Edinburgh. He presided over the General Assembly as its moderator in 1963 and worthily represented our church in his moderatorial year which followed. But all of those things were not what distinguished this man most as a Christian. He was and remained a down-to-earth servant of the Lord, aware of the needs of ordinary people and ready at every opportunity to do what he could to help ordinary people where help was needed. His whole life was an example of the truth of the parable we were reading just now. God will judge us according to our response to human need. God's judgment of us does not depend on the academic success we have achieved, the popularity we've enjoyed, the wealth we've accumulated. It depends on how we have treated those who needed our help as we traveled along life's way. Do you know the difference between stained glass windows in a church and painted glass windows? I had it explained to me once, but I'm not sure I remember it exactly. Anyway, many churches have stained glass windows. In some churches, the windows are only painted glass, which is apparently not so grand as stained glass. But I remember a church which had coloured windows. Whether they were stained or painted, I'm not sure. But in one particular window, they had six scenes depicted. Those were known as the six acts of mercy. The giving of food to one who was hungry, the offer of a drink to one who was thirsty, the invitation to a stranger to come in amongst friends, the offer of clothing to one who was unclothed, the visiting of a patient who was ill, the visiting of a person in prison. All those actions which Jesus describes, they're not meant to be exclusive, they're only meant to indicate the general and wide-ranging nature of the help which can be given. In the course of our life, we may meet people in those circumstances and be able to do something for them, or we may meet people in other forms of need to which we can make the same kind of spontaneous, worthy response. We know that Jesus delivered quite a lot of his teaching in the form of parables, and we also know why that was. It was because the parable is in the form of a story. It's more vivid than a body of abstract teaching, and so it's more easily retained in the mind. People can remember the story, so they can call it to mind and think about the characters in it and the thrust of the story. So the meaning and the message, which is cloaked in the words of the story, can come home to people more effectively, and one hopes it can produce a worthy response. The parable, then, is a vivid form of teaching. The parables of Jesus are all like that, very vivid, very expressive, easily committed to memory, easily recalled and readily acted upon. This parable, which Jesus told and which we've been thinking about tonight, is perhaps one of the most vivid. The six acts of mercy. They're not meant to be telling the whole story. of what different people we can help or what different forms of help we can be expected to give. They're symbolic examples. We may meet other forms of need in the course of our way through this earthly life, other forms of need which have an equal call on our generosity. We have to be ready for those occasions when they arise. It's our response to those situations which determines whether or not we are genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our knowledge, not our popularity, not our wealth in terms of this world's goods. All Jesus' parables have something to tell us, something that can stick in our mind and guide our future conduct. This parable is no exception. So what does it teach us? What is it telling us? First of all, that the help which we're called upon to give will be help in simple things, situations which we meet mostly by chance as we go on our way through life. The challenge in the parable calls for a response from quite down-to-earth, ordinary people, giving food or drink where it's needed, clothing, friendship, concern for the situations in which people find themselves. Of course, nowadays there are agencies which do a lot to help people and to deal with human need in its various forms. We get opportunities to contribute in one way or another to the work of those agencies. That is good as far as it goes. But for the most part, that kind of help is structured. Our input to those situations is usually planned, thought out, given when we're ready. But there is a sense in which we have always to be ready to help where help is needed. We never know from day to day and from moment to moment, we never know when we're going to meet a situation in which our generous, spontaneous response is called for. Something else which the parable tells us, this help which we're called upon to give, it has to be what we can call uncalculating. That's to say, we give the help without any thought for what we'll get out of it. Those in the parable who performed the acts of mercy, as we've called them, they were not expecting any reward. They helped because they'd come across a situation of need, a situation in which they were able to do something to help. They didn't realize that they were helping the Lord himself. Likewise, the ones who didn't make the right response. Oh, they probably said, Lord, if we'd known it was you, we would gladly have helped. We would have fed, watered, clothed, cheered, visited. We would have done all those things if we'd known it was you. In other words, if we'd been going to get some recognition for it. But we thought it was just some worthless, undeserving, no good, so we didn't bother. That's not what it's about for the Christian. It's not about helping so that we get something out of it, or some recognition for our kind action. Jesus himself sets us the example. In this, as in so many things in life, self-giving, spontaneous, uncalculating, neither counting the personal cost nor seeking personal recognition. We will never be what our Saviour is, but we are called to be like him, to come nearer to him day by day in thought, word, action, and character. It's a lifetime's work. But all along the way, there are the signposts. All along the way, there come the opportunities to help in whatever way we can help. We don't do it for recognition or reward. We do it for him. And that is ample reward. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. Well, friends, we have two more after tonight, two more evenings of Holy Week services. Tomorrow, as you know, we join not only our two congregations, but with the High Kirk as well. This year it's the turn of Ardeer to hold that service. Service in Ardeer Church tomorrow night will be at 7 o'clock and will include the Sacrament of Communion. And I will be joined by Mr. Scott Cameron in conducting the service. So that's tomorrow night, Ardeer Church, 7 o'clock. On Friday, Good Friday evening, we're back here and back at 6:30. So those are the forthcoming services in the remainder of the week. Then we come to Easter Sunday, when we have our services at normal times, 10 o'clock here and 11:30 in Ardeer Church. And it's not only Easter Sunday, but it's the first day of British summer time, and we have to remember to change the clock and get to the church on time. I'm sure we'll do that, though. Now we close this service with hymn 405. We sing the praise of Him Who Died, 405. Grace, mercy, and peace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all this night and forevermore.